Welcome to St. Paul's this morning as we gather together to remember Gail Clark, to give thanks to the Lord for her life lived amongst ours, and as Gail would insist, and I'm with her on this one, to worship God in the process. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Let us sing together to God's glory, "How Great Thou Art."
Thank you.
Please be seated. I think Gail would have been very pleased at how y'all sung that. Let's pray together. Most holy and gracious God, we come before you today to bring honor and glory to your name. You are the God of righteousness and justice. You are the God of love and compassion. You are the God of holiness and truth. You are the God of peace and grace. We find in you all we need for life. For you yourself have given us life, and it is by your grace that we have life and breath this day. We worship you as the creator of the universe around us. We praise you as the Lord of life. We glorify you as Savior. You have always loved us. You have always loved your people. We have seen it time and time again through the Bible and throughout history. But in no greater way have we seen your love and grace for us than through your own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When the time was right, in your plan, you sent Jesus to this world to live and to teach and heal and ultimately to die for us. To die as the sacrifice for our sins. That through Jesus and his death on the cross, we are forgiven and we are made new people and we are saved. And then, like Jesus, we too are raised up to newness of life in him. Father, have mercy on us now. Pour out your grace in Jesus' name and forgive us our sins. We confess, Lord, that we have strayed and not always followed your ways, but the world's ways. We confess that we do not always love you with everything we are, nor do we love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us. Forgive us the things that we have done and the words that we have said which have dishonored you and brought harm to those around us. But also, Lord, forgive us the deeds that we have left undone, the words that we have left unsaid that would have shown your great love. In Jesus' name, take all our sin from us, that we may rest assured in confidence and faith that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven and we are yours. We thank you, Father, that we can know your grace. Bless us now. We are a people in need. Comfort us, Father, in the death of Gail Clark. Grant us your comfort, grant us your peace, grant us your hope, that in our loss and sorrow we can still know the joy of the gospel, because it is the joy of salvation which our sister Gail knows even today. Make us aware of your presence, Lord. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Just before I read, I want to thank you for that beautiful anthem. Thank you. First reading this morning is from Psalm 91. We'll begin with verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verses 14 to 16. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation.
This is John 11, 24 to 26, and this is where Nanny's hope was found. Martha answered, I know He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?
It is my pleasure and my honor to welcome the Reverend Dr. Gordon Crossfield to the pulpit this morning. He is Gail and George's brother-in-law, and he is a minister of the United Church Please, sir, come bring us the word.
Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, Pastor Grant. Surely the Lord is in this place. You know, I would come here if I didn't live 7 hours away. I think this is a great church. Wonderful choir. I'm used to having the choir behind me, though. I need somebody at my back. I know the family is so grateful to this congregation for your hospitality. I know that Gail really enjoyed her time here when she joined you, and I know she was part of the choir as well. I know that George just loves being here. You've been so kind to them and so welcoming, and your hospitality today at the last moment, of course, is so much appreciated. So the family thanks you. I thank you so much as well. Now, George has given me instructions to keep it short, and Tim has told me to mention trains. So I could talk about trains for a long time, and I could talk about Gail for a long time, so it is a dilemma for me this morning. I've known Gail for almost half a century, well, a little over half a century. When I met her, I must say that I had a smoother transition into the Stevens clan than I did with my future mother-in-law, but sometimes it goes that way. I think she was just happy to get her younger sister married off. Gail became my Wendy whisperer. She explained Wendy to me, which was really very helpful. She would say, "Don't give up." Seriously. She and George quickly became our supporters. I noticed fairly quickly that Gail and George were kind of different from each other. I don't know whether it was the engineer-nurse thing, but they were different from each other in some ways, but not in the important ways. They were a team, with a marriage built on integrity, positive energy, and great love, a model of marriage passed on to the next generation. They took initiative with keeping the family connected. That is so important these days. Visiting us, even all the way to Alberta, going to Texas to see Cynthia, sending cards, letters, remembering birthdays and anniversaries and special occasions, not only for the family, but also for friends. We remember fondly the annual family gatherings at the Shaw Festival right up until last June. That was their idea. And we think about that often with great fondness. And they did the rounds on that trip. They never just came and went home. They did the rounds. They visited friends and family, including their nephew, Matthew, in Brampton. Gail and Wendy were so grateful to Elizabeth and Cynthia and the family for carrying on this tradition by arranging the wonderful gathering for their 75th and 80th birthdays a couple of years ago. And of course, the most important part of that was that as many of us as possible were together. Gail was the quintessential hostess. I just like that word. Anybody know what that means? It's a great word. Quintessential. I'm not even going to explain it to you if you don't know it. But I think you would understand it if you had been the subject of her gracious hospitality and her fantastic cooking. Her house was always open. One of the things that stand out for me is her incredible hearing. I don't know how Stephen or Elizabeth or George got away with anything. She was always right there, always present, always with you, always heard everything. And she could be involved in many conversations at the same time. Proverbs 31 is called a worthy woman. If you are familiar with it, you know that it describes Gail very well. I don't have time to read it all, but these phrases kind of jump out. Strength and dignity were her clothing. She smiled at the future. She opened her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness was on her tongue. She looked well to the ways of her household, all to which Stephen and Elizabeth and George can attest. Gail was a nurse, but she was also a counselor, a healer, a singer, a musician. Did you know that she wrote music to a song that I wrote? And we could never understand why the Gaithers never got a hold of that one and did something with it, you know. There was some musical and theological value to it, I think. She was a woman of prayer. We all know that. Deep faith. And she had class. Strength and dignity were her clothing. In spite of geographical distances, Wendy and Gail were the best of friends on every level. They discussed parenthood, gave each other advice, prayed together, laughed together. We all laughed together when we got together, the four of us. Gail was a welcome presence among us all for over 82 years. F. Scott Fitzgerald had one of his characters in a novel say, "We often have no idea how much space we take up in each other's lives." I have never found a better description than that. We often have no idea how much space we take up in each other's lives. Gail took up a big space in our lives, in your lives, I'm sure. I hope she was aware of it. Her space is now empty. We notice the vacancy. But no one else will be able to fill that space, and neither should they. It belongs to Gail. She will not be forgotten and will continue to be a very real, important part of our lives, only in a different way. Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament in the forms of letters of encouragement to various churches, tries to capture how God perceives us, how God created us. Wendy actually read this verse in her devotionals when Gail was in hospital last week. There's a lot more to it, but the phrase that jumps out is, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians. I realize that this image could refer to a couple of things, but I think it fits so well when it applies to people. I like to think of it in this way. Our souls, the essence of who we are, is the treasure. The treasure of greatest value to our Creator God. But for our time on earth, this treasure lives in a body, a fragile container, which Paul calls a clay pot or an earthen vessel. It's a good verse to remember, you know, as we get creakier and creakier as life moves on. But the vessel is breakable. It has its best-by date. We've been heartbreakingly reminded of that reality last Wednesday. Gail had successful knee surgery last October, but it is believed that it may have exposed underlying heart and lung issues that eventually created an imbalance of carbon dioxide over oxygen in her body. And it was to this condition that she succumbed very quickly. So we know that the vessel is breakable, but the treasure is not. We are a treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despairing. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. What does this mean for us? For so many people, death is the great unknown. It's met with denial and fear and even panic. But in the face of its inevitability, what a gift it is to greet it as a believer. As Paul continues, "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And he goes on to speak of that holy moment of transition. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our physical body is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day." You experienced that in your time with her in that room, didn't you? Gail knew that this momentary light affliction was producing for her an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Gail had the best of both worlds, didn't she? She had a loving, attentive, present family, wonderful friends, a full, productive life here on earth. But she also had the assurance of a future reunion with those who have gone on before, her father, her mother, her brother, among many others. And so she lived in that time. And finally, she knew that there would be that moment when she would be face to face with the one that she served faithfully, spent time with in her devotions, and worshiped on Sunday. What an amazing thing to look forward to. Psalm 116, verse 15 reads, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now that sounds a little strange for a moment unless we look at it more carefully. What the psalmist does not say is, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the dying of his saints," because God weeps with us when a loved one dies. But the word "precious" in Hebrew has three meanings. The first meaning is costly. Costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Physical life, physical death was not in God's original plan. We die physically because of the ravages of sin. The cost of dealing with that sin, the cost of dealing with that sin was the death of God's Son, Jesus, on the cross to break the bonds of death and set us free for eternal life. Costly, costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The second meaning of precious is highly valued. God values his saints so much that he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He prepares a banquet table for us and invites us to live in his house forever. But the death of his saints is highly valued because it's an end of our struggle with sin. It marks the end of our inability to fully love God with our whole heart and soul and strength. In heaven, there's no more restrictions, no more limitations. We will be able to live out fully his will and enter fully into his love and holiness. God values that moment. And finally, because God is a father to us, precious in his sight is when he can welcome his children home. We are pilgrims and sojourners on this earth, living in our fragile earthen vessels. And Paul goes on to say, we know that when this earthly tent, this is the biblical word for body, when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God and not by human hands. Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. We are not saints for what we have done. We are saints because of what has been done for us at great cost by Jesus. Gail understood and believed this. Welcome home, Gail. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Gail Clark. We thank you for her life shared with us. We have been touched by her and have grown because of her, and our faith has been encouraged by her. We thank you for her strength, her love, her compassion, her gift of encouragement. We thank you for her faith and her manner. Lord, we thank you that you give us the confidence of your grace in Jesus Christ to know that our sister Gail is even now with you. We thank you for the victory which Christ has won for us, a victory which gives us hope, a victory which turns sorrow into joy because it is the victory in which you turn death into life in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that when we come to you in Jesus' name, you are sure to receive us and that we too will be raised up to life. Help us, Father, to be ever mindful of all you have done for us. And help us to be aware of your great love for us. And help us to live ever within that love, that we at all times may know the hope of the gospel, the hope of life in Jesus Christ. We seek your blessing now, O God. Comfort those who mourn, bless those who weep, lift up those who despair. We remember before you, Lord, George, Stephen and Liz, Elizabeth and Tim, Benjamin and Hannah, Jesse, Madison, Samuel and Melanie, Isabel and Naomi, and Winston, and all those who knew and loved Gail. Give to us all your peace. Give to us your love. Give to us your hope. For all this, we pray in the name that is above all names, that of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The family has asked me to invite you to time of refreshment, reception that will happen in the Campbell Hall at St. Paul's. It is the large room down at that end of the building. You can take any of the three hallways and you will find the space down that way. Let us close out our service as we worship the Lord one more time in singing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.